You're listening to Soundtracks, your source for the latest music and musings behind your favorite movies.
Hello and... Thank you, Munchkins. Hello and welcome to another exciting episode of Soundtracks. McJost here, editor of GeekTire.com, and showcasing a little bit of my acting ability there, as if I didn't know completely what was going on in my own podcast with music. So anyway, that's out of the way. What we're covering today, as I'm sure you've probably already guessed, Oz the Great and Powerful, Danny Elfman, Sam Raimi, patching things up since Spider-Man 2, when they had that big fallout between the two of them, and Entrada Records providing me the opportunity to show this to you today. A lot of hype about this film, a lot of talk about it, and a lot of things being said. So let's just jump into the music and we'll get to all of that. Here are the main titles right here on Soundtracks. Main titles right here on Soundtracks. Mick Jost here, editor of GeekTire.com, and of course we're covering Oz the Great and Powerful soundtrack scored by Danny Elfman. And I mean, we gotta discuss the elephant in the room. This movie has been getting mixed reviews all across the board, and this shouldn't really be surprising for most of you film fans. How are you gonna measure up to the original Wizard of Oz? You're not going to, and people are always gonna be all about blah, 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 CGI this, CGI that. That's probably about the weakest argument I've heard made about this movie, was too much CGI. We're living in a CGI age, and there's going to become a point, I'm sure 20 years down the line, where there's only going to be more CGI than there was now. This is kind of a defining feature of this film age that we're living in currently. CGI is going to be a part of it. We're not going to pay to have hundreds of different horses colored only so they can die on set and the film be shut down. We just don't live in that age anymore. Which, I mean, you know, I would rather see a CGI field of stampeding horses of different colors than I would sooner see three green horses any day. But like I said, film buffs, they gotta love their Wizard of Oz, the original. And there's nothing wrong with the original Wizard of Oz, but this is something entirely different. And I don't ever think Raimi intended it to be anything greater or even really something that can measure up to the original Wizard of Oz. Perhaps, I mean, every director would hope so, but I'm sure his standards weren't set quite as high as that. Another complaint I hear about the film is that people really wanted Robert Downey Jr. as opposed to James Franco in the role of the Wizard, which I completely disagree with. Not to say I don't love me some Robert Downey Jr., but the Tony Stark persona that he's taken on in, like, pretty much every role since he's made his comeback, I don't see that translating well to a family movie role, which is what this is. Another thing, this is a family movie, so for anything that seemed childlike or just kind of silly at times, I mean, it's a kid's movie. The original Wizard of Oz was for kids. It became a timeless classic because, you know, it was made in the 30s, so not a lot of us were kids anymore. You know, we don't remember seeing that as children because, well, maybe we do remember seeing that as children, but it was an old movie when we saw it as children. I don't know. I've heard from many critics that the film is blah, and I've heard from many regular average filmgoers like you and myself that the film is great. And I think we should just enjoy it for what it is. And remember that this film may very well one day become a classic. There could be kids watching it right now that'll forever remember this film and the people in it. And I do believe this film will become timeless as the years go on. You have several young actors and actresses who have already had very successful careers and will hopefully go on to continue even more success in their careers. A very well-known director, great composer behind it, and certainly 100 times better than Disney's first outing in Oz, Return to Oz, which no one can dispute that that movie is far worse, terrifying, and not geared for children than this film is. And I really don't think anybody's going to argue that. So let's head back into the music. This is The Bubble Voyage, one of my favorite songs on this score, right here on Soundtracks. Thank you. Hubble Voyage right here on Soundtracks. Mick Jost here, editor of GeekTyrant.com. And there's another reason why Oz the Great and Powerful doesn't closely follow the film as many people would have liked. It's because the film is owned by Warner Brothers, and Disney had to go to great lengths to make sure that they followed the book more so than they did the actual movie. For example, things as silly as unable to use the ruby slippers found in the original film, not able to be used, the actual shade of green for the Wicked Witch of the West, not able to be used. Disney had to prove through its legal team that they use a uniquely different shade of green and did not utilize the well-known chin of the Wicked Witch in the film. It's crazy. All that said, there were some things they were able to slip through, like beginning the film in sepia tone, switching to color when they get to Oz, referring to the road as the Yellow Brick Road, something that the author of the novel, L. Frank Baum, never did, was also done in the film. So they did get away with doing a little bit, even though I'm sure the Warner Brothers legal team was not too happy about it. Nor Warner Brothers. I'm sure they would have loved to make their own Oz the Great and Powerful, but, you know, Disney's Disney, and they got the money to do so. So, take that as you will. Let's get on to more music. This is Fireworks, Witch Fight, right here on Soundtracks. Fireworks, Witch Fight, right here on Soundtracks. Mick Jost here, editor of GeekTyrant.com, and don't think this film is without references to the great and powerful creator of Oz, L. Frank Baum, who's mentioned a couple times in the film, the assistant, Frank, named after the author, and the Baum Brothers Circus, the last name of the author, Frank Baum. So with that little final tidbit of knowledge, I'm going to send you on your way, have you click your heels three times, no place like home, you know, all that jazz. And I'm off. But once again, as always, I want to thank you for listening to Soundtracks. I want to thank Entrada Records for letting me do such a fantastic episode on this film. I really enjoyed the soundtrack, and I encourage you to pick it up. And I hope that Sam Raimi and Danny Elfman will continue to collaborate and not have another falling out. Because everybody loses in that situation, honestly. So, I'm out for the day. Let me leave you with one more song, as we always do. This is Time for Gifts. Wrapping things up, right here on Soundtracks. Thank you.
What you hear on Soundtracks? Visit GeekTyrant.com for an early release of the new episode and breaking news on your favorite movies, shows, and more. That's GeekTyrant.com.